is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel,
it's gonna roll around once more.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more.
When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this beautiful April 9th, Saturday morning. The sun is shining, the cows are mooing, and God is on the throne. Praise the Lord. Well, good morning, men. We've got a house full this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And I understand we got Tim with us. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
So, and we say good morning, of course, to you, the Holy Spirit. Good morning, Jesus, because His Word says, wherever two or more gather in His name, and we certainly gather in His name here, when we gather together, and that name is Jesus Christ. It says, whenever two or more gather in His name, that He is there also. So we welcome you, Lord Jesus. Come, sit down. Have a cup of coffee with us. Bless our fellowship this morning. Well, John, if you would open us up in prayer, that is usually about how we start our Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers program.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we do come before You humbly but boldly this morning, and Lord, our goal, our desire is just as iron sharpens iron, that one man would sharpen another man. And Lord, we pray that this program today, Lord, would cause us to encourage one another to love and to good deeds and raise each other up, Lord, that we would be a shining light in this dark world. Lord, that You would just guide and direct us, give us wisdom and understanding, put it upon our hearts what it is that You would have us to speak about, Lord, that's of benefit to Your people, the remnant. And Lord, if You've convicted one of them to something that needs to be shared with the rest of the brethren, then we just ask that You would allow them to speak and to call in and present it with boldness. But Lord, we also bind the forces of hell that are coming against us as Christians, the true Christian followers of Jesus Christ, we bind any spells, any witchcraft, any deception that may be planned by the evil ones, Lord. Because we know that your word says that there are those that only come to steal, to kill, and destroy, those that find glee in suffering and pain, death of your people. Lord, we just ask for protection, for the hedge of angels, ring of fire, and a shield of light around all those that are yours, around their families, and all that you blessed them with. Lord, your word says that even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Lord, we claim that promise. We claim that promise that you have given us the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure us as we are washed in the blood. And Lord, we claim that blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, as protection against all the forces of hell. And Lord, against these plagues and diseases of Egypt that have come upon your people, we do ask that you would remember grace and mercy in your wrath, and that you'd find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. We pray all these things through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, didn't know if you had something special you wanted to start with this morning. Some current events or something you want to share with the remnant?
Yeah, I wanted to start off with, I had an interesting phone conversation yesterday, and it brought back, it was something that I've discussed with some family members, some things that had happened years ago, and it was an interesting, really interesting situation, but 7 years ago, there was a point where I spent a lot of time praying about a situation. It's kind of interesting when you see how God answered those prayers. And, it took me 7 years to realize it. And sometimes it's one of those things, it's like we pray for something, and God's working, and we don't see it at that point in time. And I've had that happen a lot of times where it's not until quite a ways down the road that you can realize that God had his hand in everything and he worked it all for good. You never quit. You never doubt him. You never quit believing that he is working it, but you just don't see it.
You don't see it.
You can't grab a hold of it. And it's one of those things where you go along and you trust him and you pray and you pray and you trust him and you believe that he's working, but you don't see it. And it's kind of exciting when you can look back and you can remember the prayers that you prayed and what you were going through and how you trusted the Lord and how he worked and how he worked everything so much better than if he would have just answered it right before your eyes. If you could have snapped your fingers and had it done, you would have at that point in time. But you don't. And to me, it's one of those things that's really encouraging and really exciting to see. We don't see it all the time, but it's something that when we do see it, it is it can be really exciting. It's one of those things that as soon as I realized it and saw what was happening, I stopped and I thanked the Lord for it. And I said, Lord, thanks. He said, you answered those prayers perfectly. You worked everything out just perfect. And, stopped and thanked him. It's something that's really exciting to see.
Amen, yeah. There's times when we go through those things, and I feel the same way, and it strengthens your faith that at the end, your faith didn't really waver, but it's stronger at the end of it because it builds endurance in your faith, I think. I definitely have noticed that in my own life and in my own prayers and seen that happen. So the confirmation of it builds endurance. If you don't waver, so.
Amen.
Romans 8:28.
You know, that has become one of my favorite or go-to scriptures anymore because it fits in so many situations, you know. And we've talked about it time and time again. How many times, you know, he works all things for good for those that for the called, for the chosen, but for those that love him. It's not for all the called and chosen, but it's for those out of that group that love him. And you know, we can't, you know, Jason, 7 years ago, you couldn't have anything to do or couldn't control the things that were happening. But you could love God. You could trust him. You could fear him. And yep. That's what we do. And that's what we've learned. That's one of the many, 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 many things our pastor taught us was to, you know, trust him. How many times, I know you've heard it before. I heard it so many times in your presence. How many times would pastor say, okay, this is God speaking. You still love me? When something that we would call something bad happened. Now, it wasn't something bad, but we thought at the time it was something bad. We thought at the time it was a ruling against us. We thought at the time it was we lost. But it was just another step. It was just another step in his plan, whose thoughts and actions are higher than ours. I've always thought 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4 was the reasoning behind those type things. Let me read it real quick, John, and I'll turn it over to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And if we don't go through those afflictions, then we don't get to get those comforts so that we can comfort others, so that we can minister to others, so that we can guide and direct others and encourage others, so that when they're going through the same thing we went through, that we can say, hey, it's a tough time, I understand, but you know what? Look here at this scripture. Look here at this scripture. We can offer comfort and maybe not just comfort, but instruction, direction, guidance to others in the comfort, guidance, and direction that God has given us in similar situations. I think it's just how it works.
Yeah, two thoughts related to that. I mean, Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek
yes.
and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. The other thought was, if you think back to France in 2011, last year our pastor was with us, one of the most profound things that came out of that conference, and I marvel as I talk to some of the men that were there, was that Pastor Peters came up and just gave a testimony. Romans 8:28, but not only that, but he said, you know, I've never had a bad thing happen to me. And if you know him and you know his life, by the judging of the world, you couldn't say that. But by holding on to the truth of Romans 8:28, you have to say that. And he believed it.
Yeah.
He believed it, that everything that he had gone through was for a specific purpose. And because he loved the Lord, served him and abided in him, that no matter what he went through,
yep.
the Lord would work it for good.
Amen.
And when you have that kind of mentality, I mean, I think that's probably one of the most profound things that he taught us in that year in Branson 2011. When you stand on that promise, it sure makes it a lot easier to go through the tests and the trials and the tribulations that the Lord only puts upon those that he loves.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree.
And that's something,
you know,
especially.
It's one of those things, and there's times where, you know, you go through. I think it was what it boils down to is you got to be listening to the Holy Spirit, because there's times where you go through and you pray about something, you continue just to pound away at it in prayer, and. You know, you pray and pray and pray and you pray. You know, you might pray daily, you might pray hourly, you might pray, you know, weekly on something, on a matter. And then there's other times where you pray about something and you know that it's in the Lord's hands and it's done. It's taken care of. You've done what you're supposed to. And, you know, I think that there's times where when you pray about things, you don't need to pray about it every day because you bring it before the throne of the Most High, and you can put your hands down and walk away and say, it is done. It's taken care of. It's, you know, he's answered this prayer. And, you know, there's other times that you can tell that you just got to continue to pray through something. And I think that the only way to understand that or to discern the difference on what you're supposed to do is by listening to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And I was actually thinking along the same lines as when we pray sometimes. And I know that you men have felt the same thing. You're praying there and that Spirit bears witness with you. You feel that prayer ascend before the throne of God with power. You know, I mean,
yeah.
It's just like there's that connection there where you don't even wonder. It's just a witness in your spirit with the Holy Spirit that it's, like Jason said, it's done. And there's other times when I pray about it that it's like, well, you need to bring this up before me again. I'm not finished with this yet, and I'm not ready to hear that motion, you know, if you will. And it's like, well, all right, we'll keep bringing it up again. So, you know, there's definitely that aspect of that there being done all the time.
Yeah. If you look at 1 John 15:7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples.
Amen.
7 and 8, that is.
Amen.
Yeah, it's exciting. Exciting times, that's for sure.
It is. It is. And I know, Jason, what you talk about, it's encouraging when you, I think as individuals, when we see that, you know, we kind of finally see the light on this one matter. You know, something that you've prayed about, something that you've desired, or something that, you know, it's been a problem and you've wanted it fixed, or whatever it may be. And you pray about it, and you pray about it. Sometimes it might be 7 years later. And it finally, you know, something happens, a thought comes to mind that it's like, hey, you know what? God answered this prayer. He took care of that. And then that old saying that hindsight is 20/20, then when you look back, you know, you can see how his hand was in it time and time again. Again, for those that love him. And he says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. We do the best we can in doing those type things. It is a great and wonderful thing. I noticed it. I was thinking about something along those lines just the other day. My son David turned 18, middle of last month, and I thought, you know, God has answered prayers here, because he started out life 10 days in ICU, and just didn't know how things were going to be. But, you know, for at least those 10 days and more after that, many prayers were offered up for health, for healing, for a restoration, for everything to be okay. And you know what? God answered those prayers.
Amen.
But he had a father in the covering that also answered the call to seek ye first the kingdom, too, you know?
Yeah.
That's the difference, too, is this the obedience. I think a lot of times fathers don't realize that the sins of the fathers will visit, you know, 2 and 3 generations. But also, I think the blessings that
to 1,000 generations.
The obedience of the father, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
We forget that sometimes. There's, you know, God's society is patriarchal. That's what our pastor taught us. And throughout the Bible, you can see that it was patriarchal. But you can see that the enemy figured out that one of the ways to bring down that patriarchal society, to make men, emasculate the men, was to raise up the effeminate movement in the matriarchal society. And that's really what's happened since pretty much World War II, if you look back.
It's Ashtaroth worship. It's the female goddess, the female deity worship. You tell me in our society today, walk through the grocery store, look at the magazines, look at, turn the TV on, any type of media, it's because they know it causes us to sin, but it's the worship of the female deity. I mean, throughout our society, and it's certainly an abomination to God. Well, guys, the phone line's ringing. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, good morning, man. It's George, Southern Illinois down here.
Good morning, George.
Well, it's I know you didn't open the phone lines yet, but Don said if you felt spirit led to call in to say something, to go ahead and do it. So,
amen.
I tell you, I love hearing about the testimonials and stuff, you know, where, you know, how God's worked in people's lives to turn sometimes bad decisions that we make into good ones. And it just so happens this past week I had that same thing happen to me. About a month or month and a half ago, I ended up getting real slow with work, and I went to work with a different company. And this company that I went to work with was a pretty big company in this area and had all kinds of work lined up for the rest of this year and several months of next year, even on the books right now. And I started working with the company, and they really liked me, and I really liked them. Well, it just so happened that my old boss called me and wanted me to come back and said that he had a lot of work. And I was working with my old boss for about 13 years now, and I kind of felt like I had a little obligation to go back to him, and I prayed about it, and I ended up making the decision to go back with him. And it just so happened I found out some things about my old boss, and it just didn't really feel right that I was working with him. And last week, the guy that I had went to work to, the one that had all the work, called me and said that he really liked me, and all the people on the crew liked me, and they liked my work, and they were looking for a real good guy and wanted to know if I wanted to come back. So after I had thought about it, and I had some men through the ministry pray about it with me, and I made the decision to go back to work with them, and I start Monday. And it just so happened that the guy that I was working with was real slow, so it worked out real good. And God decided that he realized that the decision that I made wasn't the right one, and he interceded in that and decided to present me another chance to make the right decision. And I kind of what I see this one to be at. So,
yep, I appreciate the testimony.
Yeah, absolutely. George. And don't you see, George, it may be after you get through it, and it may not be now, but it may be in the future.
Yeah.
But after you get through it, you look back, and that was something else Pastor taught us. How do you make good decisions? You learn from your bad ones. How do you make good choices? You learn from your bad choices. And it may be the choices you make. It may be somebody out there, and I bet you my boots and throw in the spurs that I don't really get a chance to wear, hardly ever. That there's somebody out there listening in that has that decision to make today or next week, a very mm-hmm. similar decision, and they'll hear your testimony. And it'll kind of motivate them and get them to thinking, now if I do this, then that might happen. If I do that, that might happen. And so that's what our testimony does, I think, at times, is it. It's like that comfort we read about in 2 Corinthians. It's like that comfort that wisdom, that knowledge that say, hey, listen, we tell our children that. Guess what? I've been there. I've done that. So, make a wise decision.
It's really encouraging. It's really encouraging to hear other people's testimonies, because it gives us, it makes our faith greater. It gives us strength to even make decisions and a better decision. The one that I made going back to my old boss, what I thought was the right decision, God made there another way to go back to the one that he had planned from me from the beginning, apparently. And I just think that it's awesome that God will intercede like that. And, you know, we have a God that will do that, that looks out for his children. And I just think that's totally awesome. So,
anyway. Yeah, it is exciting. It's very exciting when you can see that.
Amen.
You know, and I think it's important, too, when you pray about things, you know, make sure that you give God room to work. You know, don't pray about something and then do it your way anyway.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there's where you see, you know, you pray for God to open a door, and if he doesn't open a door, you're going to go ahead and open that door anyway. And you know, that's something that's important and sometimes can be challenging to do. You know, and I just encourage everybody out there to, you know, pray about things and pray about it and, you know, see how the Lord's work. You know, sometimes we're thinking that we want the door to, the Lord to open this door. And, you know, he'll reach up and just slam it shut. And, you know, when he does something like that, you know, that's an answer. Then, you know, it can be hard and it can be challenging to be able to stop and thank him for something like that because you were so sure that door was supposed to be open.
Yep.
That's just not his way. You know, and you know, I think that I've seen here recently how, you know, the Lord has reached up and shut a door, and it's like, you know, Lord, how can that be? How can there be anything better than this out there? You know, how can there be how can you work this for good? You know, I was so sure of this. But when you stop and you say, Lord, here's the deal. You know, I know you closed this door. Now open a greater one for me. Open a better one for me, a bigger one for me. You know, give me something else. And the Lord, he honors that and he respects that. And when you do that, it is just amazing how the Lord can work sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's right.
I don't want to say amazing. It's not amazing because, you know, we serve a mighty and powerful God. But it's exciting to see.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And, you know, Jason, along those very lines, in our Bible reading plan for today is 1 Samuel 13. That's on the Bible reading plan today. This is how the Holy Spirit works. And you read in here about Saul, okay, and how Saul was waiting for Samuel to come and offer the burnt offerings, offer the sacrifices before God before they went out to battle. But it says in verse 8, now he, meaning Saul, waited 7 days according to the appointed time set by Samuel, but Samuel didn't come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, bring to me the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And as soon as he finished it, behold, Samuel came. And Samuel said, what have you done? See, Saul had no patience. He couldn't wait on the Lord. He trusted in all nothing but the flesh. Oh, my people are leaving. We got to go to battle. I have to do this thing that God has appointed someone else to do. And he had no patience. He couldn't wait on the Lord because his heart was not like the Lord's. And I think that's it's just Holy Spirit inspired. You brought that up, Jason. That's all there's to it. Because that's, and again, that's right there in our Bible reading plan today. That absolutely, you pray about it, but then it goes back to what was said earlier. You listen to the Holy Spirit. You listen to it and not just be driven by just the flesh. Sometimes the battle is in the flesh for sure, but many times it's, you know, it's wait on the Lord. It's wait on the Lord. I think it's 8 or 9 times throughout the Bible. You know, I think David writes in the Psalms, be still and know that I am God. Wait on the Lord sometimes. Doesn't mean we sit on our butts and do nothing. But in a praying spiritual sense, we need to be better than Saul. We need to learn from his example. He didn't wait on the Lord. And he went ahead and did what he thought. And he lost the kingdom because of it.
Right.
I think that's something that I need more practice on for myself. I think that sometimes I say a prayer and expect it to be done right away, and I don't give him the work. So and I'm sure there's other people out there that may feel the same way. You know, you figure you say a prayer and it's like, boom, it's done. All right, this is a decision that I have to make, and then you end up making it and ended up being the wrong one. And God's like, well, I was just getting things in line and in order. You didn't even give me time to do anything. So that's something that I know for sure that me as a person needs to work on myself. So, but anyway,
if you're reading,
guys, What's that, John?
If you read in Acts 1:7-9, he says, he said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. I mean, we all know how we get the Holy Spirit, right? It's through proper baptism, immersion, and it all goes back to what we've been concentrating on lately is the obedience.
Yes.
The power comes from the obedience.
It does, and that's just the opposite of what the world says. You know, there's so much. I've had a couple of emails and a phone call lately about these Judeo-Christian churches and ministries out there denouncing works. There's nothing you can do. Jesus did it all on the cross, so you just walk in. You know, there's nothing you can do, and that's not what the Bible says. Now, the Bible says, you know, we don't do things according to the world. We're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. And the things we do, sometimes the decisions we make may seem foolish to the world. Okay? God, what do you mean? Says Gideon, I got 30,000 men here. We're ready to take them out. Nope. Whittle it down. Okay, God, now we got 10,000. What do we do now? Nope. Whittle it down. Too many. Take it down to 300. Gulp. What? But that's how God works. It's not the ways of the world, but we are to be doing the works. We are to be in obedience to Him. That's what's pleasing to Him. His Son, Jesus Christ, our God, our Lord, our great physician, Jesus Christ was obedient to His Father in the things that He did, in the thoughts that He thought, in the prayers that He prayed. And that's our example. And when we are obedient, we are blessed as well. The world may laugh at us and say, what? Why are you doing it that way? Are you crazy? But if it's in line with the Word, if it's in line in the moving of the Holy Spirit, yeah, we may be crazy according to the world standards.
Yeah. Well, guys, I'll get off here. I'll let somebody else have a chance to call in. I appreciate the few seconds to say something. You guys have a blessed day.
All right, George. God bless, brother.
Thank you, too.
All right.
Thank you.
I mean, even in James 2:17, it says, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say to you, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. I mean, these are things that we need to live on, and that's what you use to combat some of those people who, they're all just wolves in sheep's clothing, though. That's all.
Yeah,
that he were to do nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had an opportunity this week. I think I talked about it already, but we were reading Romans slowly but surely, trying to get through it and trying to get as much out of it as the Lord wants us to in this men's prayer breakfast that I'm apparently leading. Started out just a bunch of men getting together and wanting to pray, but they seem to have appointed me to lead it. But last week we were reading about the remnant and about Baal, and I was pretty astounded that none of them really understood what Baal was or what a remnant was. And I said, all right, well, we're going to stop this study in Romans and we're going to figure this out too. If you don't understand what a remnant is, you're not going to understand the Bible. And if you don't understand what Baal is, you're not going to understand the false gods.
Right.
So I had them read 1 Kings 18, and I was, again, astounded because most of them had never read the story of how Elijah went against the 450 Baals and how their priests and their so-called prophets were crying out and dancing and screaming and cutting themselves with blood gushed out of them, and they're like... you know, they had never read the story. And then we went through and looked at all the examples of Baal all the way from Genesis on through. And I said, and then I told them about the archways of the Temple of Baal that are being reconstructed here in the U.S. And there's a whole lot more to that story, too. Maybe Richard touched on that when you guys had, you and Jim had your program, but basically they're planning on putting that up on April 19th, which is also a blood sacrifice to the beast in the satanic world. But what amazed me was they couldn't believe it, and every one of them just grabbed their phone and Googled it, you know? And they're like, wow, you're right. I can't believe it. How do you find out this kind of stuff? And I'm like, well, I ain't going to tell you a lie.
Yeah.
But if you listen to the mainstream media, which is their plan, you'll never hear anything about any of this stuff.
Well, if you were promoting Baalism and false god worship and things like that, you don't want your people reading and knowing about that story.
How
the false prophets of Baal were all killed. Where was it? At the Brook of Kidron or wherever it was. You don't want your people.
Yeah.
You don't promote that kind of stuff. You promote a Jesus that loves everybody. That just love. Sloppy agape. We love all. We hate the sin, but we don't do anything about it. But we love the sinner. And I haven't found that in my Bible yet. I have found that Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners. And he cared so much about us that now he says, okay, yeah, now, but you're wrong. You're born into sin. You're born with a filthy mind. You're born with a desire to sin. And you have to change. And you have to, I don't care how you were born. Being born that way doesn't work. It ain't going to cut it on the day of judgment. But he says, but then you change. And I give you the opportunity. And now you change.
Yeah.
I do read that. I see that in the Word.
Then I told him after that, I said, you know what? There's only two reasons why you don't know these stories and why you don't know what a remnant is and why you don't understand what Baal is. One, you don't read your Bible. Or two, the pastor that you sit under hasn't told you the truth. And they're like, wait a minute, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But I'm like, well, how else can you explain it? There's no other way to explain it. I'll tell you right now, the pastor that I sat under did.
Amen. Well, and that whole business with the melting pot philosophy that we see him talk about all the time, you know, that's one of their watchwords. If you watch, well, we have a melting pot here, and they use it in regards to not just race, but religion too. You know, multiculturalism, multi-religious views, how that all works. And melting pots are a funny thing. They don't purify anything. And then we read about God's method, and he says, I'm going to use a super hot fire, and I'm going to use fuller soap and a brush, and it'll be a purification. All the dross will be cooked off. And when you see those kind of things, I think you can draw a parallel here between what you were saying about them not telling people who Baal is and not telling those sort of things, because they just want to get it just hot enough to melt it all into a big, you know, homogeneous glob. And that's not God's way. He has a totally different process in mind. So I think that kind of ties in there too with something.
Yeah, they got a restaurant here local. I don't know if it's, you know, nationwide or whatever, called the Melting Pot. And just the name of it, I hate that place. And I never want to go there. And people always say, oh, well, it's just the best place. You know, it's like a fondue place. You dip your meat in fondue and you get all these different kinds of chocolates and all this. But just the name of it, I hate the name of it. You know?
I hate the name of it, too. I feel the same way. It's like, yeah.
It's just more indoctrination is all it is.
It is.
Yep.
It is. You know, down in, I think it's Mississippi, they actually, their state legislature actually passed a very similar law that the Georgia governor vetoed just a week or two ago, that just basically says that a restaurant, a bakery, that type of thing, they don't, you know, they can, a bakery can say, no, I'm not going to make you a homosexual marriage cake because it's against my religious conviction. And so they can't shut them down like they have bakers in Denver and Sweet Cakes by Melissa out in Oregon and many bakeries and florists in places like that were Christian-run businesses. So Mississippi got that law passed. Well, now the The Restaurant Association is sending out stickers in protest to all the restaurants saying, everybody's welcome. Isn't that sweet? Doesn't that just give you a warm, fuzzy feeling inside? You know, they'll stand before the judgment throne and say, yeah, everybody's welcome. Well, guess what? The God of the Bible doesn't welcome everybody. Jesus Christ.
You know where not to eat now.
I guess so. Jesus Christ doesn't welcome everybody. But this false Christ, this false Christ and this false God that the Judeo-Christian churches preach and promote and worship, you know, he might go along with that. But I don't see that in the scriptures. You know, we're reading through the Bible the second or third time now. I don't see that in there. And it's like you said, John, those men that you're talking to, they don't see that because, one, they either got a deceiver in the pulpit that's blinding them, or it's like, and we got a caller. Caller, we'll get right to you here. Or it's like 2 Corinthians 4 says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. But see, that's the unbelieving. Oh, they talk about all you got to do is believe. Well, the demons believe. You read through it. Luke, we're reading through Luke this month in the Bible reading plan. Luke, Christ comes upon the demons and they say, what have you got to do with us, Son of God? They believe. You got to do a little bit more than believe. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Rich. This is Kent from Louisiana.
Good morning, Kent.
Good morning, fellas. You know, it's interesting to note how the liberal Jew-owned media today is reacting when an 18-year-old white female was murdered by a no-good black male at the University of Texas at Austin. I was listening to the news this morning. It was like a Wiccan witch was speaking through the speakers of the television set. And it went like this. I don't understand why this young guy would do such a thing. You know, that's how the intellectual prostitutes of the media people are. And what's happening to the white female today, being hooked on drugs and race mixing, and they're being raped and rounded up by predatory black males, they couldn't do this without the feminist movement. And the feminist movement was designed to separate the white male from the white female. And once the white female is isolated away from the authority of the white male, she becomes a victim to the serpents, the blacks, and so forth.
Absolutely, Kenneth. Have you seen what's going on in Europe and the uproar over there? Their magazines are even coming out like our Newsweek and Time. Their magazines, we showed it on a little scriptural review of the news just a couple weeks ago, and it's called The Rape of Europe, the Islamic Rape of Europe. And you're absolutely right. Their women over there have stepped out from underneath their lawful authority and their lawful covering, and they've said, I am woman, hear me roar, and they're getting roared all right as a people.
Yeah.
And we're seeing the exact same thing happening here.
Yeah,
good
I think
point.
In Deuteronomy, yeah, I think it's, yeah, also to you too. I think in Deuteronomy chapter 9, God's going to have to do an ethnic renewal or purging plan. When he does this, we got to remember what he says in Deuteronomy 9:4. Do not say in your heart, when the Lord your God drives them out before you, it's because of our righteousness. But it's because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is going to dispossess them before you. So I think the good news is, and I think Jeremiah 23 talks about a fire that's coming and it's going to burst on the head of the wicked. I think there is some good news coming, and it's going to be the destruction of the wicked. It's always God's plan that he wants the righteous to inherit the earth.
Yes.
Not these black thugs or the Jews or the homosexuals. Nothing like that. He wants the righteous to inherit the earth. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
And we are righteous by his blood. Certainly we're saved by grace through faith. By his blood, the blood of the Lamb. There is no forgiveness of sin without the sacrificing of blood. And he gave his blood for me and for you, that we could become righteous in him.
Amen.
And that's how the enemies leave. That's how we prevent what's happening in Europe from happening here. is we return to Him. We return to Him. You know, that's what we're praying for, as we've called for prayer and fasting between now and Branson. And when we've had people call in and ask, and we put it out in flyers, that's what we tell people to pray for. Pray for a repentance. Pray for a revival, a returning to God. His word is true. Even way back in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it's absolutely true. When my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, when they repent and return to Him, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will heal their land. The land needs healing today. The land has parasites on it, parasites that God did not intend to be here, but that we've allowed because we haven't been diligent, because our forefathers haven't been diligent, because we've allowed sin to creep in, like the camel sticking his nose in the tent, and now the camel and all his camel jockeys are in the tent and pushing all of our people out. It's the hand of God working on our European neighbors and cousins, our sister, you might say. And I think it's happening as an example. So God can show it as an example to Christian America and say, you see what happens? You see what happens when you allow the homosexuals in? You see what happens when you allow the women to preach and teach, and you allow the women to be your priests and your teachers and that kind of stuff, like Europe's done for the last 40 years? You see what happens when you just have open borders and you think socialism's going to work and you just love sloppy agape everybody? You see what happens? And I think God is allowing what is happening in Europe to happen, certainly because of their sin. But it's also as an example to Christian America, to you and me, to say, you see what happens to a people? Because I'll bring a people in innumerable, with a language you don't understand, with customs you don't understand, and they will come in and they will eat the produce of your land, and they will take your children, and they will take your land, and they will consume you.
And ravage your women.
And ravage your, and that is absolutely happening in Europe. And we're next.
My people perish for a lack of knowledge.
Yes.
And basically, God will not be mocked. There's one thing He can't do, and that's lie. And when He says, you forget me, I'll forget your children.
Yes.
We can see that there's at least a couple of generations of children that He's forgotten. But the reality is, it's the parents' fault. Parents have used public school as a daycare, and they drop their kids off, and they think, well, now I don't have to worry about them. Well, when you entrust your child's soul to an Antichrist establishment, don't be surprised if you lose them. And if you're not praying the full armor of God on you and your family every day, religiously, faithfully, then don't be surprised if you wake up some morning and you don't have that family that God blessed you with.
Amen. We talked about Baal worship. We've got an ad here Pastor put together. Pastor has a book and a set of messages on Baal worship. If you don't have it, well, listen up. We'll be right back after this.
In the Holy Bible, in the Old Testament, we read how Israel repeatedly betrayed their God and worshipped instead idols of their own device. In reality, this was rejecting the rule of God in their lives and setting themselves up in His place. Did such arrogant, self-serving rebellion end with the Old Testament? Or do we see so-called Christians sunk deeply in such sin today? And what about ourselves? Find out the whole truth in the book Baal Worship in America by Pastor Peter J. Peters, available for a $10 offering U.S. funds. Write your scriptures for America Worldwide, Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, USA. Again, that's a $10 offering U.S. funds for the book Baal Worship in America from Scriptures for America Worldwide, Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, USA. Thank you.
Boy, how prophetic that book is. And here it is. Building, putting it in the paper, celebrating it, building Baal Temple and calling it a Baal Temple in New York City, right there in Times Square. Well, our pastor prophesied about it, said it would happen, and there it is.
Yeah, moving on. It's interesting as we see, you know, how many things are just changing as far as the world is concerned. You know, and I noticed one that was about one of the things that they're doing over in China is there's certain parts of China where they're going through and they're taking down all the religious symbols. And they had some pictures this last week of them, taking all the crosses down off the...
Let's try it again.
Yeah, 2 minutes, so
yeah,
no point.
Well, about 7 minutes there. Looks like we're back on. I got a getting text here that we bounced off, and so I understand how that goes. But I had a power surge. Blurp, everything, and we've got everything in here on battery backups. But looks like the phone lines maybe took a hit. But that's how live radio is. Well, as we're wrapping up,
my people at church just about out of time.
Yep. Well, we do want to do that, folks. We want to invite you to church tomorrow. We're having church services at the La Porte Church of Christ starting at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And you can join us. If you can't join us in person, you can join us at the website, scripturesforamerica.org. And you can come there and click on, if you have a good internet connection, click on the live video stream. Again, starting at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, and join us. We encourage you to do that. We'll have some Bible reading and some Holy Spirit-inspired music, and we will partake of communion, the Lord's Supper, and we'll have a message for you. And it'll be a good start to the new week, I guarantee it. So we do invite you to do that.
Keep the solemn assembly in your prayers. Remember, we still need people to make a sacrifice to give up at least a meal or spend an hour in prayer or something. Right now, the calendar's pretty empty, so we really would appreciate you stepping up to do that. Make no mistake, one way or another, it'll get filled, even if it's one of us.
Yes. So we do encourage you. We've been putting our office phone number out, 307-742-7582. That's our office number. And our email is preacher@sfaw.org. If you will, answer the call and honor the fast with us. Pray and fast and draw near to God and pray and fast for this solemn assembly. We ask you to call and let us know so we can fill the calendar. We're covered today. We still need some coverage for Sunday. And then toward the end of next week as well. So, again, we ask you to pray about it, and we hope you will answer the call and pray and fast with us. Well, Tim, Jason, John, thanks for getting up and being with us this morning. Appreciate the calls, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here with us, for guiding and directing us. Again, our address, if you want to write to us, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. We'll finish out with this Mike Platt J song. Again, we have both of his CDs available for a $20 offering from Scriptures for America.
When God's people get together, get united to take their stand, there ain't much that the devil can do. It's written he's been defeated. Jesus took away his keys. He said the gates of hell cannot stand when we come walking through in the name of Jesus.